All right, John, I don't know how we're going to be navigating through this forest here, but you're the one that knows how to drive. I'll just point stuff out that you might want
to
not hit.
Are you trying to do a lead-in without actually doing the lead-in?
Yeah, because I gotta, like, fucking brute force this shit.
Boy, howdy, I have no idea what's going on.
Neither do I, and that's a great way to lead into Dungeons & Dragons, a real play podcast, stolen from Ted.
Good thing you fucked it up.
Fuck up shit.
Yeah.
Now you fucked it up.
Ruined.
Oh.
So, any dang old way, when we last left you guys, because it's been, what, like 2 weeks since we last played, even though we left on something that seemed like we were still playing?
Well, yeah, because, you know, I had to go on another fucking business trip.
Yep.
Wow.
And some people were tired. Some people were sleepy boys and couldn't handle being locked into what might have taken 4 more hours. So, when we last left you nerds, you were formulating a scouting plan to try and figure out where this wyvern goes back to sleep for the night. Like, where they're roosting.
Sleep for the day,
oh,
really.
I thought we were rolling initiative.
Fuck what? No.
Did,
you don't even
I
see
swear it again. Yeah, we did.
No, we didn't.
What?
Yeah, not currently.
I thought we were doing
it's
a skills
off
challenge.
In the distance, like over there. Yeah.
Okay, before am I like tripping here, or did we not like leave on a skills challenge cliffhanger to roll initiative?
Oh, no, we are. But wait, did I specifically say roll initiative? Because if so, then yeah, my bad.
Yeah, but you did. I'm
not,
pretty sure.
Yeah, roll initiative, but not for fucking combat.
Yeah,
you
for skills challenge.
Didn't actually say for combat. We just assumed
yeah, it's a skills
combat.
Challenge.
I assumed
no, skills
that,
challenge.
I assumed that Matt was fucking something up, and this has never been wrong.
I apologize, Matt.
Yeah.
That's the last time I'll ever say that. Don't get used to it.
I appreciate that you apologize, and he's still angry.
All right. So you guys were figuring out your means of reconnaissance.
Memes of reconnaissance.
Anyway.
Shut up. So, if I remember your plan correctly, it was that John and Jiron were going to get into one of the cars and kind of go storm chasing to keep an eye on the thing and, you know, basically be backup if required.
Yeah, to basically spot it.
While Elias and Patton were going to be attempting to navigate through the foliage here. And by the way, Elias, have you come up with a name for these things yet? Because if not, I will.
Name for what things?
The flowers, the grasses.
Didn't you give a name to them?
Not really.
I prefer the name cat flails.
No.
Cat. It's pretty close. They're cattails that shoot fire out of them.
Flails are like a medieval, like, iron, you know, weapon thing. That's not good.
I was just going to say burn thistles, completely ripping off Grove of the Burn Willows from Magic the Gathering, but you know.
All right, then I'm going to name them cool. Fire Thorns.
Oh, shut up. Come up with something good or don't come up with anything at all.
They're going to be called Spicy Boys.
Spicy Cactus.
I like it.
No, Elias probably wouldn't actually come up with a name on the spot, so if you want to give a name for him...
Yeah, he's not Patton.
I don't... Well, you have to tell me if these are totally unknown plant species or not.
No, it's a mutation.
Oh, okay, well, so then it's a subspecies, so they're whatever, fire bristles, and then, like, some kind of bullshit Latin subspecies name.
Okay, cool. That's very easy to refer to. So, anyway, Elias and Patton are going to be going through the whatever briar thistles and bullshit Latin subspecies names to attempt to get eyes on this wyvern and then hit it with some form of tracking device.
No, no,
right?
No. I don't think Patton was coming with me. I think Patton was controlling Lil or Bro from
the car.
From a safe distance while I move through the foliage to make sure that nothing gets spooked and that Lil or Bro doesn't like cut any of these things accidentally because he doesn't have perfect control of it.
Okay, so you're working as the man on the ground.
Correct. Yeah, he's giving me a good spot to shoot, using my fancy schmancy new crossbow, to shoot the kind of control nodes to make sure that I have that fine control over him until we can find, I think it was the prey.
Yeah.
And we were going to either startle it or get its attention to, and then try and hide little bro on it to, or littler bro, so that we can use him as a tracking to find where this Wyvern's lair is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't tell anyone, but the reason I'm in the bristles is because I'm going to ride it.
Uh-huh.
Right. So, let's do a fun little wipe. As you three are in a car and you're off in the grasses.
Sure.
It's starting to get dark. Like, it's, you know, it's mid-evening, right?
Yeah.
Right around sunset. As, you see the flowers sort of start to bloom around you, and you get small peeks at this wyvern darting in and out of various points in the grasslands, occasionally perching up in some form of clearing or in between some bent over trees, and waiting and watching and sort of being illuminated by these plants that I still don't have a good name for.
Could call them flamebriars.
Flamebriar? Sure, good enough.
Because it's more of a patch than it is a you know, singular thistle, and a briar implies a large area.
Makes sense to me. So, now roll me some initiatives for the skills challenge.
I got 24.
All right. Fuck, it's my bonus. I never remember my initiative bonus.
It's on top of your sheet.
Yeah, I got 15.
I got a 13.
15.
Then I got a 17.
Oh, for once you guys didn't overlap with each other. That's so nice. All right, then. Wait, what is this? Oh. One of the players is trying to send me some covert operations, and the answer is no.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
So, anyway.
Thought it was always supposed to be yes and.
Oh, yeah. Did the plot thing? It's more, it was a clarification, it was a fact clarification, not a can I do a thing. So, this is going to be fairly simple. It's going to be 8 successes, 4 failures. Don't fuck it up. The goal of this skills challenge is keep track on the Wyvern. Don't get spotted as a you know, primary prey source, while not losing it, and managing to get the tracking information that you need. So it's sort of a delicate procedure. So, you know, you guys are going to fuck it up immediately. So, who is driving the vehicle?
I think John.
John is driving.
Okay. Very good. So, it's starting to get dark. The roads that you guys can navigate on are these very, very overgrown dirt paths that now look more like sort of animal footpaths burned through these grasses by whatever small animals this thing is hunting, presumably.
Hellhounds. It's hellhounds.
Yeah. Hellhounds or whatever the hellhounds are also hunting. Visibility is semi-low, and occasionally one of these flowers will just smack onto the side of the car, ignite a bit, and sort of the flames will billow over the top of the vehicle. So, off in the distance, maybe, you know, 600 meters away, pretty far off and slightly up a hill, you can see the wyvern perched up in a tree with its eyes trained on something, sort of coiling itself around this burnt down tree that it seems to use for this exact purpose. So, first up, Jiron, what are you going to do?
All right, so we're pretty much going through a fiery path right now, like wildfires in California do. What I'm going to try and do here is I'm going to try and indicate a clear path for John to drive through so we don't, like, hit something and cause a disturbance in the forest or whatever.
Yeah.
Which I'm surprised we're not already doing, but...
Yeah.
So what I'll try and do...
So one thing that I kind of forgot to mention that is relevant is... When you drive through these things, one thing that you notice is the air itself is very hot, and it's also fairly difficult to breathe.
Okay.
Basically, these things are not really helping the situation in terms of breathable air.
Does it make sense for Jerry to be able to convert like fire back into oxygen? Or anything like that?
No.
Let me tell you why that's a really bad idea over the radio. Do you know what fire uses to burn?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, try to reverse the process.
No, Matt, Jerry. If you were to suddenly eject a whole bunch of oxygen into a big fire, it would explode.
All right, how about I try and manipulate the fire into a clearer path using Arcana?
Yeah, if you wanted to try and do some sort of controlled burn...
I'm just going to point out that anything that makes you stand out from the background of the fire is bad. So you might want to think about that.
Yeah, I'm going to do it in a subtle way, just so where, like, it's on the ground level and the Wyvern shouldn't be able to see what we're doing if I don't fuck it up.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to do Arcana for that. That's a 23.
All right, a 23. That'll be a success. So what you notice is as you're driving around, the flames start to whip over the top of the car and give you a very, very obvious silhouette. And really, no matter how slowly you drive, one of these will occasionally just, you know, it'll bend and smack into you, creating this big old puff. And so basically you're able to redirect that sort of around the tires and the underside of the car and actually mimic the signature of a hellhound, kind of.
Nice. And I can actually probably, if I have to, hop out of the car and be fine because I'm a tiefling and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you just, you know, leave your friends to burn to death.
No, I mean, like, get on the roof and, like, start conjuring and shit if I have to.
Yep. All right.
Yeah, put us under the cover of darkness or something if he needs to.
Mm-hmm. So, next up is Patton. And as you're looking out, you see that the Wyvern quickly takes flight, swoops down through these things, grasps something in its talons, throws it directly up into the air, and then just flies back to its perch.
Wait, it just throws it up in the air?
Yeah, as you see, whatever goes up into the air there, just fall, land onto on the ground, you see a noticeable billow of flames, as then you see it fly off to go land in that clearing that it's just made.
Okay, so it looks like it starts to seemingly
eat something.
Huh, I wonder if it's trying to... If it's just making sure it's dead, or maybe trying to cook it. Who knows? Like, let's get a little bit closer here. What I want to see is, with perception, see if I can try. Because all those that were around there just burned out.
Yeah.
So all in that area, I want to see if I can get... if I can figure out what this this prey beast was. See if I can figure out if it was a hellhound or if it was something else. What's the optimal prey this thing seems to be going for?
All right. Sounds good to me.
That is a 25.
Oh, wow. You guys are doing good, actually, on these. Here, one second. Let me just, that's actually a good question. Let me think real quick, and let me, you know, like, pull up a list of animals native to this region or something like that. I don't actually know what's,
the handy-dandy DM notebook.
They'd be...
Yeah.
They would be bison, dude.
Yeah, that's what I assumed, but I just didn't know what the population of bison was like.
Bison populations are rebounding in the United States. They're fine.
Yeah, yeah.
So if
we don't have enough settlers to shoot them all yet.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Probably with some kind of mana adaptation, something like rocks.
They got big old orc horns or something.
I already had that eventuality planned. I already knew what these things were going to be. I wasn't aware. I just wanted to be consistent. I didn't know if they would be this far east, you know?
No, they range this far, yeah.
Yeah. So, as you guys manage to get a little bit closer, you get a good look at these, and it's a fairly large bison that seems to be writhing on the ground now as the wyvern sort of grabs its neck with one of its talons and just twists. And it seems to just be standing there, like, eyeing around, waiting. It's not really doing anything.
Bison must have pissed it off.
All right, so I got what I needed. Bison seemed to be a particularly good target for this thing to go for.
Yeah, it took like one or two bites and is now eyeing around cautiously.
Yeah, it's looking for scavengers.
All right. Next up, Elias. How close are you?
How close am I?
How close are you?
Well, if this thing was how far, if it was like 600 meters away from them. So I would say I'm within 100 meters of it.
Okay.
Holy shit.
Because I think it's reasonable, given my skill set, to assume that I have not, as to right now, had trouble moving and navigating Little Bro through these fields.
Okay, so, Pet, or Elias, rather.
Correct.
What you notice as this thing is looking around, it's scanning this clearing that it just made, sort of around the edges, and you do see small little disturbances, but whatever's moving through there is not activating these flowers, as you quickly and pretty obviously identify that, yeah, a Hellhound pack is circling in trying to steal this kill.
Yeah. All right. Here's what I'm going to do.
However, one thing of note is, you're within range, and you're within wind, that they do also smell you. They seem to be focused on the kill, but they know you're here.
I'm downwind or upwind?
You're currently downwind.
That would... just so you know.
No, yeah, you're upwind.
Okay.
Yeah, the other one.
That would mean...
whichever one lets them smell you.
In terms of where I am in relation to the wyvern, though, am I down or upwind of the wyvern?
You're going to be upwind of it as well. Also, these things are circling around. The wyvern has made a circular clearing, and the Hellhound pack seems to be making a sort of concentric circles, tightening in on it.
All right, what I'm going to do here is, my primary concern is that the wyvern's got a kill that it's sitting on. So what I want to do is, I'm going to roll acrobatics. And this isn't attempting to end the encounter, but this will probably move it into the next stage.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, what I want to do is I want to take a pod that has not broken, and I want to whip it really fast at the bottom of one of the hellhounds on the outer circle away from me, its feet, so that it pops and hopefully startles the wyvern. So that they have to jump, because I know that these things operate on the element of surprise. So once one of them yipes or makes a noise of any kind, it'll be do or die to get the prey. And I want the wyvern to jump up into the air.
How is this acrobatics?
What? Because I...
grabbing one of these plants itself kind of seems like a bad idea. I could just have Littler Bro just like give you something to toss out there. Just like some junk scrap. If you just want to whip that stuff.
Well, I wanted to make a flame pop, because the wyverns are smart.
Oh, I see.
So, here's the thing. Acrobatics is some form of jumping stunt.
Does it have to be? I thought it was dexterous movement.
Not really.
Well, then what would dexterous movement be?
dexterous movement.
Well, like deft.
It depends on the deft. In this situation, that sounds more like nature.
Oh, well then I'll roll nature for that.
Like you're trying to not trigger one of these plants.
Yes.
Create a very specific situation based on your knowledge of plants and animals.
Well, I thought I was taking my knowledge of plants and animals more of a given and the difficulty being actually succeeding.
Nah, like just throwing something is pretty basic.
Oh, okay. Right, so I'll roll nature then to extract the pod and make sure that it pops off right in front of... Well, let's say if we're going for a nature roll, then I'm going to aim for one of the younger, more excitable looking hellhounds. Because if I know anything about their pack mentality, it's one of them is younger and will probably jump at the chance to get its teeth into the meat first.
Right. So you're going to go for the one that seems to be making the most erratic movements.
Yeah. It's pacing more or is getting like, you know, growled back into line.
Okay. Makes sense. Roll it.
Ooh, that's probably not going to go. How do you use rerolls here?
You use up your action point.
This is kind of a pivotal thing. I'm an action point.
Okay. What was the roll?
18.
Yeah, no.
Well, yeah, there was a 4 on the die. So. Nat 20.
Oh, good.
It's a good thing I rerolled that.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. So
one day we're going to get called out for all these goddamn nat 20s and nat 1s we do. There's too
actually,
many.
Actually, I think it's right around statistical. Like, I think it's right around statistically average.
We must be, like, regressing to the mean recently, because there's been so many.
Yeah. I mean, it's a 5% chance. That's pretty likely. So, you managed to cut off one of these ones that's looking particularly ripe.
Juicy.
Yeah, there's one sort of on the outside edge that you've seen sort of make a couple of pump charges, like sort of fake charges out of the circle and sort of get barked back in the line.
Yeah.
And you wait right there as you as this thing pops out just a bit, the pod just smacks right underneath its chin, basically.
Yeah.
Causing a big old flare up. It yelps in pain, and that triggers a lot of confusion among the pack as they all surge in immediately. However, what you notice is you need to run.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Where?
As you see these things charge in, you see the wyvern open its mouth, and its mouth is filled with these plants. And you see the sort of burnt out remains start to relight as it just snaps its mouth shut again. And you feel the air around you superheating.
Oh, okay, so I'm going to yell over the radio to Patton to if you're going to do the, you know, if you're going to put the tracker on this thing, it's got to go now.
So as you hear that, you guys see this dome-like shimmering bright light as pretty much the air itself ignites around this thing in a big old really less of an explosion and more of just like a radiating massive heat wave.
Thematically,
in the scientific communities we call it a domular inflammation.
Yeah, sure, one of those.
That's gotta be it. Is that a fucking Homestuck reference?
No, it's not. Not, listen, only like most of the things I say are Homestuck references.
I'm gonna kill you.
A massive conflagration.
Yeah, that one.
So, Elias, you're like, you have to turn away to shield yourself from the flame, and
yeah.
Even then you get, you know, pushed back just by the sheer heat wave and the shock wave of this. But yeah, this thing is really smart. Its goal wasn't the bison.
Oh, it wanted the hellhounds.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm gonna if I have the opportunity, I'm gonna yell through the radio to have him implant the tracker on one of the younger hellhounds. Then, if he can see it.
Yeah, as all around you, as a result of this, you see a large number of these plants starting to alight behind you. And it's triggered sort of a burnout.
Yeah, I'm going to hit the deck, and thematically, if not mechanically, I'll activate my stone skin cloth armor. And
you're just going to try and survive the burn over?
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get real, real low, and I'm going to have Specky start... absorbing whatever excess mana that hasn't contributed to a lighting yet,
mm-hmm.
and kind of vent it around me.
Okay. Elias, these things, the white hot conflagration is also going to ignite these plants, these flame briars, to all start burning towards you at an alarming rate.
All right, so I guess thematically, if not mechanically, I'm going to activate my stone skin cloth armor, and I'm also going to hit the deck, and I think this would be a perfect time, if God will allow it. I don't know if I have to ask John first or something. Elias isn't sure exactly how this works.
Your gift there?
Exactly, yeah. I think it's what it's gift absolutely. Of fire and ice, so...
Yeah, absolutely. So, as Elias hits the deck there, you notice these things start to burn over towards you, and you cannot outrun it. The sheer force of the heat and the pressure wave knocks you flat onto your back, but as you hold up your hands to like shield your face from the fire,
yeah,
you notice your right hand just starts to catch. Lighting some of the plants in front of you before the other ones can reach you and causing a buffer.
Hell yeah.
And so basically you just automatically made an escape fire without even noticing it. As the two fires collide and there is no more fuel, and so you're left now sort of in a burnt out patch as you see the wyvern start to glow and survey the landscape, looking around and checking all of these hellhounds.
Has it spotted me yet, the wyvern?
Not yet.
All right.
In your headset, you're going to hear, Zappy's biting my gimmick! Get the cease and desist letter ready!
I'm going to turn the radio volume down as low as possible.
I have imp lawyers, by the way.
God damn it.
You mean just regular lawyers?
Hey, funny.
You ever heard of a guy named Jerry Seinfeld?
So, dude.
Next up, John. The last thing that you heard was Elias yelling about the hellhounds being the real target, and then his mic sort of getting very garbled as probably caught on fire.
Okay, so we're going to pick up Elias and make sure he isn't dead.
Oh, yeah, you have absolutely no idea if Elias is okay.
Okay. So, I don't remember if we agreed upon a certain skill for driving.
For driving?
Like, yeah.
It depends on what your goal is.
Okay. We're going off-road, and I want to hit as few of these patches as possible. But more importantly, I want to go fast without tipping the car. Because Elias might be dead.
Athletics? So, athletics to just wrestle the wheel?
I mean, driving. I feel like it makes sense.
Yeah, that actually makes sense if we're just going with pure raw skill to just drive incredibly fast, incredibly hard. Makes sense to me.
Ooh. I rolled a 5. That's 16 total. I also am going to action point.
Okay.
I don't want to tip the car.
True.
I also don't want you to tip the car, John.
a little.
24.
24? That's a success.
How many successes did my nat 20 count for? Just one?
Just the one. However, it did give you a lot more information.
True.
Namely, you got to see and know about that whole big explosion. That was the thing. That was the thing I gave you.
I know.
That's a good reward for a nat 20. It's not mechanic, but it gives us a lot of information that we can use later on.
Yeah, like this boy's smart.
So, yeah, you guys are all going to hear, everybody in the car is going to hear Elias go radio silent after a fairly quiet explosion, all things considered.
John's going to yell, hold on to your hat, and floor it.
All right.
John's the only one wearing a hat.
Just cuts the wheel hard and immediately goes through a ditch, giving you guys significant airtime, which gives you time to observe that this wyvern extend its wings, which are now currently like white hot, look directly at you as you're flying through the air, and you can almost see it look confused.
Congratulations, you nearly confused a wyvern.
As you land hard, you know, Patton and Giron getting thrown all over the place. How many of you are wearing seatbelts?
Oh, none of them.
I'd be wearing my seatbelt.
Do any of you wear seatbelts? I feel like Giron wouldn't wear a seatbelt, but I feel like Patton would.
Yeah, listen, Patton is nothing if not very cautious. So he's
wearing a seatbelt, but I am death gripping the little oh shit handle.
Oh okay. Yeah, like that. That makes helps. Sense.
I think Patton's gone through at least two windshields, so I think I've got my seatbelt on now.
John, you specifically have the seatbelts were specifically modified to fit a John. So, you know, we get the little slow-mo of you guys going through the air, the wyvern looking up and sort of tilting its head, and, smash cut to the camera of Giron's face slammed up against the glass in a comedic fashion as you then land incredibly hard and gun it to where Elias's last known location was, kicking up all sorts of fire all around you.
I'm upset that you guys didn't trust me to not be dead.
I don't know. It was a big explosion, and I'm worried.
This is...
Yeah.
John is a good dad.
It makes sense. Next up, Giron.
All right.
Your head hurts like hell. It just slammed into the windshield. Or into the side glass panel, you know? Whichever. One of the two. Maybe both. As John is now driving breakneck speed through this through these fields. And whoa, hey, look, there's a couple of buffalo directly in front of you.
All right. Time for some time and well shit. I used Arcana last time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, give me a second, I'll think of some. Cause I was gonna do a whole like slow motion bit, but we can't do that now. Or could mm-hmm. I? You know what? Fuck it. We're going to do some slow motion shit, but not with the way you're thinking. So, that whole, like, thing that I was doing with Dr. Robo in her van, is that, like, something that we want to be portable? Can I, like, get a little prototype out for that? Because what I have
John
in mind is going to be
cool. Currently driving.
Okay. So, what I'm going to try and do here is I'm going to try and roll religion.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm going to try and replicate some of the music from the auditorium and like cross-reference it with the lyrics I know Michael was singing when he started doing his bullshit.
So Giron is going to try and hijack some bardic traditions and see if he can literally jerry-rig it.
Yeah.
You're going to just try and sing real good and hope that it works?
That seems to be the plan.
Yeah, I'm going to use the music as a backing track.
He's going to improvise. He's stealing the beat.
Has Jerry ever, like, sung?
No.
Not sober.
Has he ever rolled Arcana? Or rather, I've rolled religion, I mean?
It was so improbable you couldn't even say it.
I can't. What's your bonus?
5.
Okay.
Go for it. You've got 4 failures.
I'm getting out my rosary.
And this isn't something where, like, we're not up on the wyvern right now. We're just trying not to crash into some bison. They're both bad, but you know.
This is making me remember. You remember that Jurassic Park arcade game? The two-player one?
Yeah,
remember
yeah.
the part where you gotta shoot the, like, the brontosaurus?
Yeah,
so you don't get your car crushed?
Yeah, yeah.
Giron's gonna get the car crushed.
Yeah.
Man, that was fucked up, because if I remember correctly, you have to stop the brontosaurus from taking a shit on the car.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, that was a thing.
I did just think up an intimidate roll I could do instead, but I like this, though.
I was kind of stalling for time to give you an out to think of something better, but I think you're pretty much locked in.
Yeah, you're locked in. You talk this shit up. Roll it.
All right, here we go.
Now what?
You're goddamn right that's a nat one.
So, did it work?
And as punishment, I will not allow a reroll on this.
I mean, absolutely I wouldn't want
not.
You to reroll.
You are not allowed to
Jerry stands
you
up, starts to sing, voice cracks.
Right. Giron, you got some working theories here, right? Because you were trying to figure out like an amplification system and things like that to try and piggyback off of John's stuff, and now seems like a great time to get it rolling.
Life or death situation.
Yeah, you pull up that video of John and Michael singing quickly to try and remember the lyrics. you bust out a quick verse that you cannot sing on tune, primarily because you're currently, you know, barreling at incredibly high speed on an incredibly rough road. So it comes out something like, oh, man, oh, shit. And that's the sound of a bison hitting your car. Yeah, that didn't do anything. Like, you felt nothing. So, the thing about that is, it was kind of at the top of a bit of a dip. So your car strikes it as it was starting to ramp off of something. And yeah, it's starting to kind of turn in the air a bit. You're kind of nose tilted and heading into the ground. Yeah, this is going to lead to some rolls soon if you don't do something to correct this.
How many failures is that?
I'm going to shout Patton.
That's one.
Patton, help me out here.
So the car is just kind of tilting forward, about to fall off this dip here?
No, you're currently in the air, and the nose is pointing towards the ground. Basically, the nose of the car is going to impact first, and then you're going to start flipping.
Okay.
Unless you do something to right course. And remember,
Patton's been in this situation before.
Retroactive shit is allowed. You are allowed to just make up nonsense.
Huh?
So I just realized something. So I've got an 8 in religion, which is more than John and
Jerry. No.
You can't use the same skill twice in a row. But, so, for example, saying that you had something prepared in advance is kosher.
Right.
For sure. Because Patton's always got something up his sleeve. He's got very big sleeves. All right, I just got to think of a name of it, so I'm going to stall for a bit here while I... So as I'm floating through the air, I slowly just unbuckle my seatbelt to kind of reach in and just like pat myself down looking for it. That's not it. No, I'm throwing out a bunch of comically oversized things like a fucking cartoon character.
Yeah.
Got a stethoscope, throw that away as useless.
Yeah, because you're not a doctor.
I'm a doctor, just... of many skills. None of them involve actual medicine.
He's got many PhDs. None of them in medicine.
Well, I don't need a PhD in medicine. I just need one in being a doctor.
So what's the... What's the doohickey that you're actually searching for?
Well, since it's come up so many times that I've been woefully unprepared for it, I finally went ahead and I started on a prototype for a sort of bounce pad. I don't know if it'll have if the tensile strength is good enough to actually bounce a car. But,
wait, did you actually retrain into that fucking bounce pad?
I didn't retrain into it, hence why it's not perfect yet. but it's come up in so many situations that I'm going to throw it on out here.
It has come up in no situations. What are you it talking has about? Actually so has. Many.
It actually really has.
Name one.
He's the boxes? Never used. He's used Swiftmender exactly like once.
That's his fault.
To actually make somebody make a saving throw, and there have been many times where throwing down a trampoline would have been useful.
There's many times when using a saving throw would have been useful.
Oh no, yeah, but Patton just ends up in situations where, oh, I need to spend a minor action to make somebody make a saving throw. It'll be fine.
John's a big boy. So, okay, now, can I roll history for this? Because it's come up so many times
no.
recently.
This would be fuck Arcana. Out of here.
I always forget what history is. But yeah, I'll roll Arcana. I got 11 in it.
How does he have higher Arcana than me?
20 exactly.
20 exactly?
Yep.
Would you like to add anything to that?
Yes, I will add a d6.
Oh, your memory of 1,000 lifetimes there?
Yep. Gotta remember the time that I owned a fucking bounce funhouse.
Dad, it's four. It's Christmas morning. Build us a trampoline, 25? Papa.
Papa?
24 in total.
24 in total? So, what you're actually going to see as you, ready the button as the automatic launcher on the front grill of the car fires out, several tethering points and then starts to inflate itself. You do get a quick flashback of, just as you press that button, right? You're all of a sudden you're holding on to one end of a large tarp as people around you are just screaming. Absolutely screaming as that man on the top of the 20th floor lands directly in the tarp that you and the other firefighters are all holding open and just bounces, like he goes back up a solid 5 feet as you get jarred back into reality of, oh hey, we're bouncing back through the air.
Yep, landed on Dr. Patton's patent-pending beta bouncing barrier.
The nose of the car lands directly into this thing. And this is magical in nature, of course, so it somehow manages to absorb the impact and just redirect it as you guys start sort of front-flipping in the air, but it's perfectly calibrated so that you're going to land back on the wheels.
I assume that during the slow motion segment, John has finally had an opportunity to yell, yee-haw.
I was going to shout that, but then you started talking.
Oh.
You cucked him out of his bit, holy cow. Damn.
Wow.
Well, go yell yee-haw, John.
Yee-haw.
You'll have to save that yee-haw for another moment.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel as fun now anymore, does it?
So, there we go. Once again, I saved our bacon with a fantastic adventure.
So, fun killer Elias, it's your turn.
You. All right, what's the current sit rep?
Five successes, one failure. You're on your back as the fire has burnt over. The Wyvern is inspecting all of these hellhounds, and it looks at you.
It looks directly at me?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to look directly at it. And let's see. What about littler brother? Has littler brother gone into out and marked anything?
Nope, not yet.
Because he's still within range of me. Once we get really close, that's when I would have to have you set like an area where I could put the marker and then get him in there really quick to attach to one of these hellhounds or whichever one.
How close am I to this thing?
Fairly close. Maybe like 50 yards. Maybe. 50 yards. So, the other thing is, right now, you can still hear them on the radio, but your microphone, whatever your input method is, got burnt out.
Alright.
So, you're currently operating on, asymmetrical information.
Gotcha.
For... for all the rest of the team knows, the primary objective has switched to make sure Elias isn't dead.
How strong is the mana between me and this thing?
Very. It's fairly thick. The everything burning up releases a lot of mana.
I'm gonna roll Intimidate.
Ooh.
Now let me explain. I like it.
Hmm.
I have recently begun communing with nature, correct?
Correct.
I am going to stand up straight, surrounded by all this burning fire, which is not harming me. With, you know, the flames licking around me, my hand is glowing. I'm going to stand up, stare this thing directly in the eye, take, like, two strong steps forward, and attempt to just signal, you know, straight up death to it.
Okay.
Through the mana.
Makes sense to me.
Just straight death.
I mean, we got Giron rolling religion, we got Elias rolling intimidate, cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria!
I have been rolling this dice in my hand for the last, like, 10 seconds straight, because I don't want to let go and see the abysmal result. Please, God. That's not gonna do it. It's not gonna do it.
Alright.
There's nothing I can do to augment this, correct?
Correct.
Are you sure there's nothing I can do to augment this?
Elven
absolutely.
Accuracy.
What did you roll?
14 total.
14 total. Boy, howdy, is that not a success.
Can we trust you to not die?
It was a cool idea.
The Wyvern looks directly at you. You try to puff yourself up physically and magically.
Yeah.
It is just going to give you a very shrill shriek, more than you would think. Fairly high-pitched. However, you're going to see it quickly flap its wings down. The air is going to start to swirl as it is why can't I say words? I don't know. It's going to gather all of the Hellhound bodies together with the force of this circular wind. It's making like a small tornado almost. It is just going to be staring you down the entire time as these bodies get closer and closer to it. It's just going to lower its head, scream one more time, and just stare directly at you.
I'm going to stand my ground as best I can.
Yeah, it is not moving in the slightest, and it seems to be pretty heavily signaling for you to leave.
Well, yeah, but see, the thing is that if I know anything about nature and intimidate, you can't flinch now.
Right.
This is some, like, grizzly bear shit.
So, next up, John. What tune would you like the horn to play as you completely burst into this tense standoff?
I'm just gonna hop out of the car.
I was expecting just ramping over this thing.
No, we skid into we did like an Akira slide, but you know, like in a van.
Yeah.
Okay, so as I'm coming up on this, I can see where Elias is.
Yeah, now once you bust through the foliage into the clearing, but the thing is that all of these flame briars bursting over the windshield really, really hinders your visibility. You cannot see what's going on until you actually break into the clearing. At which point you see Elias and the Wyvern staring each other down, and whoa, hey, that's a Wyvern pretty close.
All right, so we're in the clearing, so there's not tons of fire everywhere?
No.
Okay.
There is not.
It's kind of like a flattened, what are those called? Cornfield? Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much like a crop circle. There's also a very, very strong circular wind going on right here, as it is beating its wings.
All right, give me one second. I gotta find... this particular verse.
How many successes do we have right now?
Five.
Five successes and two failures.
Okay, good. I thought we had three failures.
Nope.
Nope.
All right.
Not yet.
Time to add another failure.
Hell yeah.
I've only got a six in religion. I always feel like I'm going to fail it.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like, that's my biggest problem with 4E is the stats that they chose to make certain skills key off of.
I mean, religion, you are the dungeon master.
Primary is so weird.
It is entirely within your power, Daniel.
Yeah, who's smart and believes in religion?
Shut up! It's because religion is supposed to be, it's also supposed to be, it's primarily a knowledge skill. Yeah. So it's like knowledge about and stuff like that.
Like, Patton's got an 8, because it makes sense for him to have it, because I can think about old, like, human religions if I, you know, if it ever comes up.
Yeah, it's more supposed to be about minutiae and all of that stuff, but, yeah.
I'm using it to talk to God.
Yeah, what are you doing here, John?
Alright, I'm gonna get the van as close to Jerry as I can without hitting him.
No.
As me? I'm in the car.
Not Jerry. Elias, I'm sorry. I'm used to Jerry doing dumb things.
True.
Yeah.
Wait, how is that an insult to both of us at the same fucking time?
No, it's a backhanded compliment to me, you see. Spin zone, it's a compliment to me, because I'm not doing stupid
Don't
things
say
at this point.
Spin zone?
What did say?
Shut up, Matt.
We're in the no spin zone.
Oh, shit. Okay. I got it.
He's got it.
No, hang on. I can't do that. Never mind.
He doesn't got it.
I don't got it.
Wait, what do you mean you can't do that? What were you going to do?
I was going to roll intimidate instead of religion.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Sorry, I did something not good idea.
Yeah.
Damn, you bit off his bit again.
It was going to be really cool.
I've got a plus 13 intimidate.
I don't. Use something else.
You could try bluff.
Diplomatize Elias to be more scary.
Plus two in bluff. I guess I could use endurance for something similar. So, I'm going to get the car close to Elias so he doesn't get eaten by the Wyvern. And I'm going to hop out of the driver's side with my rosary. And I'm going to take whatever he was about to throw at Elias.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're just going to grab one of the Hellhound bodies?
I mean, I was going to walk at him with my rosary, but like...
Just like jumping down in front of Elias, like using the momentum from the van to get in front of him and then take the brunt of the hit.
Yeah, but I don't think this thing was rearing up to hit me. We're just staring.
Yeah, it
each
wasn't
other down.
Throwing. Oh. It wasn't throwing anything at Elias.
I assumed it was
around,
going to
it
like
was gathering
fire at him or something.
It's a Mexican standoff right now.
It was gathering up all of these bodies of these hellhounds that it managed to burn to death.
I guess I just kind of assumed that a van bursting into clearing would push him to action.
I mean, if you wanted to, yeah. What exactly are you trying to do?
Okay,
I was just unclear as to what you wanted to happen.
Okay, I'm sorry. So
in that case, if you have a strong idea of what you want to do, just roll it, and then we'll see what happens.
Sure, yeah. I'm going to go ahead and roll endurance here.
Okay.
And then describe the situation, or...
Yeah.
Okay. 25.
25, that's a success. So, okay. What did you want to happen here?
So, as the van bursts into the clearing, the Wyvern gets spurred to action, you know, rears up. They can breathe fire, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay. So, he does that as the van pulls in front of Elias, and I hop out with my rosary, and I start walking towards him. So, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I start reciting that as I just, you know, cut the fire around us.
Okay, so the first thing that you notice as that starts to happen is you've been set on fire before. You've had fire around you. This is much hotter.
Uh-oh.
In fact, you look down, and even through that protection that you've got going on, like, this, there's, like, liquid. And as you look sort of into this thing's maw, yeah, it's kind of spewing what's more akin to magma or thermite at you, utilizing these flame briars.
Oh.
Yeah, this hurts. This hurts a lot. But once you get through that first volley, you're still standing there, and it looks worried.
And I look pissed.
As it starts to beat its wings faster. And it seems to be preparing to just leave.
I'm going to gesture towards Patton to, like, get the little brother tracker on one of those things.
And now is it looking to, like, grab something and just swoos on out of there? Is it looking like, I'm out, see ya,
yeah,
and just bailing
it's grabbing,
right now?
Just cloth talonfuls of these hellhound corpses, and the wind around you guys is getting more and more, storm-like. It's really whipping up a fairly legitimate tornado here now, as the other bodies are starting to float in the air around it, and it grabs a couple into its mouth and is preparing to fly away.
Two successes, two failures. Just so you know.
Six successes, two failures. Yeah, so... things of concern here. Gale force winds. Your car getting sucked into the tornado. Bad things. Next up, Giron. Hey, at least you used a dumb skill last time, so you got all your good ones available to you.
Giron, see if you can do something about the wind so I can get littler bro up on there.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to gesture for Patton to hand me little bro. And
no, littler bro isn't with Patton. Littler bro is next to me.
Is it?
Okay.
I mean, I could bring
unless
him
the
over
wind
there.
Blew
We're
it around.
Close.
Like I was directing littler bro through the underbrush. Remember?
Oh, was that the plan?
Yeah,
I had him alongside Patton or Elias so that he could kind of push the stuff aside. But I mean, now that we're in the crop circle, he can be pretty much wherever he needs to be. But getting up to the Dwyvern's going to be hard because of all the wind.
He's not built for this sort of wind. He cannot fly in this right now.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So yeah, if Jerry wants him, I could bring him on over here.
Yeah, I'm going to need little bro real quick.
Littler bro.
And I'm going to hop out of the car. And what I'm going to try and do here is I'm going to try and force the Wyvern into a deer in headlights sort of situation. Because it's got that sort of intellectual capability to like see impending death and like probably have fear. So,
yep.
Long TLDR intimidate. And since this is an encounter, can I use Beguiling Tongue?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so that'll be
what exactly
plus...
are you trying to intimidate it with? How are you attempting to go about that?
I'm going to hop out of the car and start sprinting at it while generally gathering a bigger image of what I would imagine. Like, what would a Wyvern be terrified of?
Nothing.
I don't know. What do you think a Wyvern would be terrified of?
A bigger Wyvern.
I mean, pretty much, yeah.
An ancient... I'm going to go back to Old Faithful and just conjure up red. A little bit more savage looking than usual.
Yeah, I mean, a dragon is pretty spooky.
All right, so we're going to add plus +5 to this intimidate roll.
So you're going to magic up a image of a very large elder dragon.
A very large elder dragon, and the purpose of this is to freeze the Wyvern there, if only for a moment, so someone can throw a little row on it.
Okay.
Or I can throw it. Either or.
Not onto the dragon itself, remember, onto one of the prey items.
Something in its grip that it's got.
Not a dragon. Not onto the Wyvern itself.
Yeah. Wyvern. Right. There's a difference.
So let's roll this shit. Holy moly. Okay, so that is a... It's a lot. Hold on. 24. 33. Is that a success?
Damn. Yeah, that's a success. So... God, on a fucking 33, the You guys are going to see right in front of this thing, the clouds are going to part and just a pillar of flame as this ethereal dragon swoops down, spreads its wings, and just roars. And the Wyvern is going to quickly, sort of skid out in midair and reverse course. And the wind is going to dissipate for a second as it just becomes wholly focused on leaving the situation immediately.
And I'm going to mouth out in Draconic for it to freeze.
Oh, and have that reverberate?
Yeah, just like...
Wyverns speak Draconic, do they? I don't think they speak.
Monster Manual says they speak Draconic in common.
Yeah. Well...
I feel like understanding Draconic isn't a stretch.
It is going to comprehend, however, it's still just going to run.
Okay, but... To be an absolute buzzkill, I don't think that you can have Wyverns understand spoken language.
Well, here's... All right, so... If you say you're a bear and you're in the woods and you hear something yell, all right, whatever. You hear a larger, more angry bear yell and you're like, oh, shit, I better get out of here.
No, yeah, that's fine.
So just have it be a draconic roar.
If we're talking about primordial draconic, so to get all linguistical, it would make sense for the heightened scholarly draconic to still be... to still have, you know, the bird song elements of simple animalistic draconic calls, right?
Right. So that they I'm doing more animalistic sound
similar.
Shit.
So a predatory aggression call, even though he is saying actual words in real draconic, the Wyvern would interpret that as a predatory aggression call.
Okay, that's fine.
It knows what that call means.
That's fair. I'll take that.
So, yeah, this thing is going to just, beat its wings behind itself and start to haul ass.
With Little Bro, does it have anything in its claws right now?
Yes.
All right, so I'm going to try and just throw a frozen rope onto one of these hellhounds. A literal frozen rope.
Yeah, you already had your action.
Oh. Okay. Yeah,
this is going to give the setup for Patton, who may choose to integrate you if he so desires.
Isn't it John's turn, though?
No.
It's Patton's.
Oh.
Nah, it's Patton's here. So, all right.
For all the marbles.
All right. I'm going to leave it up to you, Jerry. You got a good... Jerry looks like he plays baseball. He's probably got a good pitching arm. So now that the winds have died down, I'm going to trust Jerry to throw Littler Bro at one of these hellhounds in the grip. And then when it actually gets in there, I'm going to use... I used Arcana last turn, didn't I?
Yes.
I will use Dungeoneering then, because that kind of ties into the tech aspect a bit with the scrapper modes, I guess, if that counts. I'm trying to think of a good... I'm just trying to think of a good... Because I got to switch him from movement to like disabling himself... to be just a tracking module that we can follow after that. So I'm trying to think of something yeah, good here.
Here is a challenge. Here is a challenge. Think of a way to succeed this skill challenge using history.
And history is knowledge of things in the past, like historic shit.
Ahem,
right?
Reading the Dungeons & Dragons compendium entry. You have picked up knowledge relating to the history of a region and beyond, including the chronological record of significant events and an explanation of their causes. This includes information pertaining to royalty and other leaders, wars, legends, significant personalities, laws, customs, traditions, and memorable events. If you have selected this skill as a trained skill, your knowledge represents academic study, either formalized or as a hobby, and you have a better chance of knowing esoteric information in this field. Make a history check to remember a useful bit of historical knowledge or to recognize a historical clue, meaning you can use history to make a link between your current situation and a historical event. It doesn't necessarily need to be very long history, but you can either come up with something that is legitimate or bullshit something that pertains to your current situation. Basically, I wanted this to be a situation. I think this is a pretty good situation to maybe illustrate a good way to use history, because it is one of the trickiest 4E skills to use.
Or you could do something completely different.
Yeah. This was a challenge since you seem to be, you know, stuck.
How many successes do we have then?
Seven.
Okay.
And two failures. So even if you fuck it up, there's still...
For example, a history check wouldn't be something like, oh, there's a bunch of wolves, and I remember the time we scared away wolves with fire. However, a history check would be, perhaps, if you wanted to remember the strategic information gleaned from some sort of, like, maybe there was an ancient tale of, like, a trade caravan that was besieged by feral wolf packs for, like, a solid week. Like, they were stalked by them for a week, right? And they managed to keep them off of them with, you know, clever manipulation and usages of fire and things like that. That would be a good history role to then be able to use those skills as your own. So you don't have to use history, but I felt like this was a good situation to explain what the fuck history is, because nobody's used it ever.
So, like, you could, like, check into one of your many other lifetimes and, like, have a hunting party be one of those. Like, right. A frontier hunting party or, out in the Wild West, tracking bears. Or some sort of aerospace bears.
Engineer.
Or that, yeah.
Yeah, someone, so history, tying it into, you know, all the people in my head constantly making noise, thinking of a tracking party. So someone, let's go with the ocean. Just to kind of choose one at random for no real reason. Like someone in the ocean tracking a vicious predator. For example, a great white shark.
And oh the my way- God, I thought you were about to say a great white whale.
That would be also rad.
The way in which they tracked it was they put it, you know, for the shark, they got it right in the back of the, like, tail fin. Mm-hmm. And that's where they placed the tracker so that it wouldn't fall off, so that they could actually follow it in there.
And also so that it can't dislodge it on its own.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll do that to tell Jerry to adjust his aim a bit to get it, see if we can actually, it's either going to hit the leg and go in there, where it can't easily take it out until it gets back to its, you know, home. Mm-hmm. Or, and if he misses, then it'll still get into one of the prey there. So okay, it's going to the same place, both areas.
So you're basically audibling into just get it onto the thing, but
yeah.
If we want to get it to track somewhere, you should get it right here so that it can't get it off of it.
Yeah. Because you can't reach
it. Makes sense to me. All right. Like, thinking about how you tag birds of prey and things like that. Yeah, makes sense to me. All right,
so I'm going to assist with that. Oh, you can't assist in these.
Yeah,
never mind.
No. Yeah, give me the roll.
Oof, Jesus. 30-something. I got a 19 30-something? Plus 13.
Okay, yeah, that's going to be a success. So,
32.
So yeah, as your mind is racing, as this thing is flying away, your previous plans are kind of going completely out the window. You know, getting little or bro onto one of these hellhounds and just expecting it not to notice is basically not going to happen. But you do recall some old knowledge that you have. You aren't quite sure if you read it somewhere or if it was an old memory. But yeah, of a rather momentous?
Yes.
Momentageous.
No.
Yes, that one.
No, the first one, not the second one.
Of a rather momentous expedition, which was the capture of the first great white shark to successfully live in captivity. And it had to do with, so, you know, the first big challenge there, of course, was actually catching it. And one of the things that they discovered was that the stress of capture itself was one of the factors that led to the high mortality rate. So you had to capture it and track it without it knowing, right? And, you know, all of those schematics, all of that planning just goes right across your eyes here. As how exactly are you going to have Giron whip this this little robot onto the thing? Just use this. How exactly are you doing it? Because you can't really just throw it.
Me or Patton? Because I can attach Littler Bro to the very end of my whip, and since it's like eternally stretching, I can just
watcha, just whip it, rip, just like try and tag it.
Johnny test the fuck out of that thing.
God damn it! Yeah. So as you whip it out, right, Patton, your body kind of moves on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you grab the whip, yank it hard to the right, and the you manage to calculate the momentum just right so that the tip of the chain just slams right into this thing's thigh, and Littler Bro is partially embedded into it as it lets out a rather angry beep.
And it sounds to me like this Wyvern's now attached with Dr. Patton's patent pending who, what, when, why, and where Vern locator.
Holy shit!
How long were you sitting on that?
2 weeks.
Literally since
Holy
last session.
Holy fuck! I'm angry!
That's how you know it was good.
I am disgusted. You disgust me.
Are you shitting me right now with that?
Woo.
What the fuck?
That's not even the worst one I have here, my dudes.
Oh my god. So,
I never got to use Liar Liar Plants on Fire.
I hate this. Yo, I hate this. So, yeah. The Wyvern is going to start to fly rather erratically as it is going to land pretty far off in the distance. You're going to see a large plume of flame as it lands. And you're also going to see just a streak of flame go straight up. And this thing just start to scream as it drops off whatever it was carrying, goes back into the air and starts to hover and look.
Oh, so it's pissed.
Yeah. So it's looking around, and it does look over towards where your caravan is, and then just look back over to you.
Uh-oh.
And it's just hovering right there.
Uh-oh.
You got another standoff.
Uh-oh. Wait, but the skills challenge is over, right?
Correct. It's waiting.
All right, I'm going to run back over to everybody, and then I'm going to tell Patton that he needs to put a camera on Lil Bro right now and send that thing up into the air.
On Lil Bro?
Lil Bro, I need you to put a camera on it right now and send it up into the air.
All right,
match height
right
with the Wyvern.
Put him up on equal height to the side of us.
Yeah. Does that thing have trank darts on it? Can you load trank darts on it?
Do this in character.
This is in character.
Lil Bro doesn't have any. I might be able to hit it from here by myself if that's your plan. I don't know if that's a. I don't know if it's a good idea. I don't think these trank darts. That's a big guy. It's a pretty big. My idea is to cheese it for now.
I'm not sure if you've noticed this, but this thing knows where we are and knows where our caravan is. There's no one's cheesing it tonight.
Do you even know what that means?
I heard him say it. I'm saying it. I assume that it'll go through.
Makes sense to me.
I'm trying to be more social here, okay?
Can't blame him for trying.
I think we could get out of here if we need to. I think we would have much better odds getting into an actual confrontation if we're able to escape here now. and then get back to it when we have the advantage. Because right now,
we can take it.
If we get into a fight, we're just kind of
there's no
nervous.
There's nowhere to escape to. We have no mobility.
Oh, by the way,
in this situation.
It's between you and your party.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, I thought it was just like over in the distance away.
No, it's between you and the caravan.
We have it tracked. It's not going to get away, but this has to end now. We need to bring it down and we need to finish it. Otherwise, it's going to pose an extremely large danger to the caravan. In fact, why haven't you messaged the caravan yet?
Oh, because I didn't think of it. Hey, Jerry, you have the radio, right?
Yeah, I do have the radio. Let me phone them real quick.
Yeah, no sense of hurry or anything here.
Hey, Doc, we're kind of in a situation. Get everything going. We gotta track this wyvern down to its lair.
No, don't move!
Oh.
Which one is it? Am I moving or am I not?
Don't move.
Yeah, don't
Roger.
Move, sorry.
I want everyone
Got
to
it.
Shut the lights down, shut everything off, except if you can. Are there any fires around you right now?
None right now.
How close is the closest fire in the flame briars?
We parked off in a clearing, so pretty far away.
All right. I want everyone to remain calm. If you have any sort of flame retardant equipment, go ahead and put that on. No one is to open any windows or doors or move towards any of the exits. You need to stay calm and stay perfectly and as completely still as possible.
Got it. Alonso already had us pretty much on lockdown.
Good.
She wasn't
Listen
even
to
letting
what
us
she
look
says.
Over towards it. Said it could see into us or something like that.
That's only partially true.
Oh, that's reassuring.
Yeah. That should be about it. Just don't move. Okay, now.
Okay.
Patton, you've got to have. What's the strongest tranquilizer you've got?
Well, I've got a gun.
Give me a fucking second. I can't stay in character for that. Patton pulls out a... Right, Elias, Patton, what's the strongest tranquilizer you've got? Patton pulls out a fucking gun.
Well, I got this gun.
It'll definitely tranquilize it.
No, it won't. That's the thing.
Forever.
Bullets aren't going to do shit against it.
All right, how about this? Why don't we drive straight at it and try to wound it? Make it run away.
No, that's actually a good idea. We should drive straight at it, and John, if you can hit one of its wings, the webbing, with your shotgun, our primary concern should be getting this thing out of the air.
Well, if we can get it to come down here by us, I can shoot it.
Yeah, we can now. Now, is it gliding, or is it kind of flapping in place?
It's hovering.
John, I want you and Jerry on the roof. Jerry, you're going to provide us magical protection from fire to the best of your ability. John, you as well, if you can do that. Patton, what I want you to do is I want you to take little brother, and I want you to put him up in the air about 20 to 30 feet to our right at the same level as the wyvern, if not a little higher in the air. And then what we're going to do is we're going to drive right at it, making as much noise as possible. And if and when it swoops, John, you're going to try and wing it with a shotgun. And Patton, you're going to have little brother hit the other wing with everything that it's got, tripwires, anything, tranquilizers. And I'm going to get on top of it.
That's a terrible idea, Elias. You have my complete backing.
So let's get in. Patton's got to drive because all three of us need to be on the roof, basically. Or this thing has a sunroof, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so...
So as we move the players across here to the actual scene of the fight...
This should be like, what, Skills Challenge Part 2, though, right?
No.
We're going pretty much into half combat.
Yeah, that's basically it. Here, I'm just going to get everything prepared. It is become, you know, fully nighttime at this point. The sun has set. It's being illuminated from beneath by these fires, which are swirling around it as it's built a sort of fire spout around itself, just beating its wings. So you're just going to drive directly at it? Is that your plan here?
Yes.
All right. So we're going to cut to you guys in the car. How far out do you want to be? Like, before we cut in, basically.
Well, assuming everything goes good, I would imagine we get pretty fucking close to it.
Okay, so John's driving. This thing is staring you down. It starts to screech as you guys get through. So, if you look at the map, there are several small roads. Are you plowing through the flowers, or are you just going on? Are you actually trying to hit roads so you have some amount of visibility?
Some amount of visibility, if depending on where the thing is. Where is the thing?
So if you look on the map, I don't have its token on just yet, but the totally not just the Grove of the Burn Willows art from Magic the Gathering, that's where it is.
All right, so then we'll stay on this main road here. This one. Hold on.
And come at it from the north.
So, like, this road here?
Yeah.
And then we'll cut, you know, we get to here and then we cut in.
Okay, so you're going to cut through there? Okay. That makes a lot of sense here. So, you guys cut through there, and the first thing you notice is the vehicle slows down quite a bit as you start to crash through these, as the winds become more concentrated towards you. And as you crash right through the last of these flowers, I'm assuming you're going to enact your plan?
Correct.
Okay. So, John, why don't you give me just a attack roll? Just your basic attack.
All right.
And same thing with Patton. Roll me, you know, like your whatever you would roll for magic weapon.
Okay. 28 versus AC.
28 versus AC?
Oh, shit. I rolled an 18 in the die. That's also 28 versus AC.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
You go for the left wing, I'll go for the right.
So, that actually will hit, despite this thing's colossal home field advantage. So, what you're going to see is this thing is going to direct all of the fire at you. And as you lean out of the window there to get your clear shot, you see a just massive pile of these flowers.
Oh,
just
no.
Carefully snipped. Unexploded. Carefully snipped, all arranged in front of this small pit cave entrance. As you manage to get a couple of good hits on its wing, it staggers in the air, and one of those trank darts hits it in the other wing, and it sort of goes off rhythm and falls a bit. But it is going to scream again at you, and it is going to slam its maw into that pile there. And roll me initiative, everybody.
Whoa.
Just so you know, you're going to be starting this fight in the air.
Hell yeah.
Everything goes white as you're rolling initiative here.
My initiative was pretty bad. 12.
12?
22. Yeah, 22.
22?
18.
13 for Patton.
All right, so everything goes white and you feel weightless. And that is where we will cut in on the next episode of Revival, a Dungeons & Dragons roleplay podcast.
Wow.
Yeah, this was bait.
It's a good plan.
It's almost like this Wyvern set bait for a bunch of hellhounds and then it set bait again.
Right, so speaking of set and date, my name's Ted. What? I play Patton.
Wait, hold on. Clarify that statement. Wait, never mind. Don't clarify that statement.
He just likes to go fishing.
Fishing for them bait clicks on. Let me tell you about my normal podcast. Yeah, this is pretty much a disaster ending so far, so someone else take it from me.
And I'm Matt. You can find me on Twitter at LMTYAMatt, and you can also check out my podcast called The Sweet Life of Matt and Cody. We recently previewed the NBA Conference Finals.
A lot of crossover between these two podcasts.
Fantasy basketball is a thing, and I assume it involves dragons.
Does it have wizards?
They call him LeBron Flames.
Shut up.
Holy shit. The B-ball dragon.
Fuck.
That sounds sick, actually.
John is exclusively reserved for dunking. Patton is a... I don't know. Is ball passing like a... I'm sure it's like an offensive term, but is it also like an offensive term?
Elias is the coach.
I would totally play a tabletop game set in Shut Up and Jam, though.
I mean, yeah, me too.
I actually stole the setting of Barkley Shut Up and Jam for an English project in high school, and they kept my paper because it was so creative and good.
You should feel ashamed.
Speaking of feeling ashamed, my name's Dan. You can find me on the Let Me Tell You About Discord if you want to talk about tabletop games, ask questions and things. You can also find me, especially talking about shame, on twitch.tv/bro_operatives, where I play video games, sometimes with my brother, Michael.
That's me, also ashamed of this podcast. You can find me everywhere you can find Daniel, except also on Twitter, at the Twitter handle at PulpFan69. Don't ask why. You'll figure it out eventually. Excellent. Tune in next time for Thrills and Spills.
And he's Tim.
Oh yeah, yes. Tim didn't say shit.
Tim didn't. Right. I guess I'll... Okay, so I'm Tim/John. You can find me on the Discord. And remember, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you.
Tim, how religious are you actually?
Not even a little bit.